Hey, Soxcast is back after a long time with a lot of pretty much depressing sports news. So, hang in there, as we usually do with Boston sports, and let's start.
Hey again, it's been 3 months since the last Soxcast, and that seems to be a reoccurring trend. We've got a special NBA analyst today to try to break down the Celtics' woes.
What's up, boys?
Yeah, we'll get to him a little later.
More importantly, the Patriots should have another Super Bowl.
They should, because, you know, I actually went to the AFC Championship game, and I saw the Patriots' defensive collapse in the second half, where they gave up 34 points in the second half.
Their season was nothing special.
Nope.
We're not going to lie. They had an average season, but they stomped the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't even close after the first half, really.
No, not really. But then San Diego, a game that they probably shouldn't have won, but they ended up winning. That's what great teams do.
They pulled out of the bag.
Exactly.
And, a little bit of controversy after that. LaDainian Tomlinson.
Great guy.
Same name. Accused the Patriots of having no class. Now, Aiden, this is... I just laughed at this because...
Oh, yeah.
He accused the Patriots of having no class for doing a dance that his teammate, who cheated, who knowingly
yes,
cheated...
Exactly.
...did the same thing every time he got a sack.
Exactly.
So, for Vince Wilfork and... I think one other player.
Tully Bantekane, I think.
Yeah. To do that, for winning a Super Bowl game?
Mm-hmm.
Sean Merriman did that in games they lost, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, he was also complaining that he wasn't able to, like, shake Bill Belichick's hand or something.
Yeah, well...
I don't know.
Yeah, he wouldn't do
Didn't he, like, run off the field?
Yeah, he was, like, the Pistons. When they finally lost to the Bulls, like, he just walked off the field.
And
he was mad.
The thing is, Ryan, he's accusing them of having no class, but the reason that they lost that game was because of a 15-yard cheap shot on the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
So he's really being a hypocrite, saying that they have no class.
And that's
Great strip by the best player ever, Troy Brown.
But, I mean, that's probably one of the reasons that the Patriots won that game is because the discipline that Belichick instores. They do not get stupid penalties until the AFC Championship game against the Colts. When they were one play away from winning the game.
Mm-hmm. And if you're using iTunes, the album artwork for that is the 3rd and 4 play that, who was it? Who was the cornerback? Well, somebody tipped it away from
Troy Brown.
Troy Brown.
Freaking Bob Sanders.
Sad.
But you have to tip your hat to Peyton Manning because he did have a game-winning drive. He finally got the monkey off his shoulder. He beat the Patriots.
Or back, you know, whichever.
Whatever. I usually associate shoulders with quarterbacks and stuff, but finally beat the Patriots, which is something that he couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots, now it is questionable whether or not the Patriots gave him that game, because if...
That 12-man on the field penalty?
The 12-man on the field penalty.
That was huge.
Ben Watson had a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
It just went on.
He did it in Indianapolis, too, though. He still hasn't shown he can go into New England in a big game. And, win.
Although, during the Super Bowl, where there was a lot of hype between the first two black coaches, which I thought was kind of annoying, because...
Yeah, well, that shows that there's still some underlying, you know, like, race issues, if that's such a big deal in this country.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I've never really thought about, you know, two black coaches going in. It's not a big deal.
Nah.
But, I mean, I guess...
Great for both of them, though.
The media, I guess, was just using it.
They need a story.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
plus,
the Colts season...
February, so... Black History Month made a good story.
There we go. Black History Month.
There we go.
The Colts season really reminds me of, I guess, the 2004 Red Sox season, which might be a little weird. But, you know, they finally beat the team they couldn't, you know, the Yankees. And then they just crushed the Cardinals in the World Series. And, you know, the Colts just destroyed the Bears in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Rex Grossman is the saddest excuse for a quarterback I've ever seen in the Super Bowl.
There was a long drought. Well, that's where it's different, because... The St. Louis Cardinals were very good.
They were
a good team.
They won 100
but
games.
But they also had a long drought, the Colts. So, yeah, it's very similar. But the thing is, the Patriots were one penalty away, one play away from winning another Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And it's just sad because they...
And it's weird because, you know, the last 5 years, how many times has that happened? How many times have the Patriots not come up big
this is
in
what
that situation?
Yeah, that's what's concerned me because that is the kind of... I think we said it last show, too. That's the kind of choking you associate with the Red Sox and with the Bruins and
Bruins
the Celtics
only
late.
Yeah, the Bruins only won, like, one world championship in the 70s when they had the best teams constantly.
Yeah, it's the kind of choking that you associate with them. So that's what scares me because the Patriots very well could be on the downfall.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when they didn't have a good team this year, it's amazing they even
got
to where they were.
But, yeah, looking on the upside, I mean, they've got 2 first-round draft picks.
Yep. It's going to be good. Probably spent on...
able to get Lawrence Maroney in that... around that, those same picks last year.
Yep, him and Corey Dillon combined for over 1,400 yards. That's good.
Yeah, so they have the Seahawks pick, which is going to get him a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people forget that in a game, I think it was against the Bears, actually, Junior Seau broke his arm. And
yep, it was against the
Bears.
They
had to move Mike Vrabel and put in Tully Bantakane.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a big difference, because Junior Seau, imagine the leadership that he brings to that team. Imagine that is a good linebacker.
Not only that, he wasn't, you know, he's like 35 years old, supposed to, he retired and then came back for the Patriots. He had a good season before he got hurt.
And he's making
big tackles.
Yeah, he's one of the playmakers, which is what this team lacks, really. They have Tom Brady and Asante Samuel, who's a free agent, by the way.
They've got to put the franchise tag on him.
Yeah, definitely.
After what, like 12 picks?
10 picks in the regular season, and 2 in the playoffs. Ties Champ Bailey.
Right.
Who was a Pro Bowl selection, and Asante Samuel was not.
Mm-hmm. So,
go figure.
The Patriots only have one player playing in the Pro Bowl. The offensive lineman, Matt Light, after Richard Seymour and Tom Brady drop out.
Season.
Yeah. Yeah. He still made the Pro Bowl.
Underachieving, I'd say.
Underachieving, yeah. Well, you know. What can you do?
It's just a tough loss. It's like, it feels like a Red Sox loss, really. Game they should have won.
And that is indeed worrying. So, now, moving on to the Celtics, we can't just ignore the elephant in the room. The 17 straight losses. You've heard him before, you know, in the last, like, 7 or so minutes. This is Greg Engelhardt, the Celtics analyst.
Well, Aiden. The Celtics really have hit an all-time low. I mean, I know we've seen them struggle. They haven't made the NBA playoffs, although pretty much every team in the NBA does with that 8-team format. But I really think you got to look at Paul Pierce missing, and obviously that's the big problem. But what happens is other players go out on other teams, and people are stepping up. And for the Celtics, that's really not happening.
It's because they have such a young team.
Al Jefferson's had a few big games. Alan Ray, actually, has been playing well off the bench. Delonte West. But none of them are really picking it up like Pierce has done. And the other thing, they were counting on Wally Szczerbiak to really take over, and he just has not been doing that so far.
Can't play. He's unhealthy.
Just an unhealthy kind of guy.
I mean, you look at the team they've made. They have made one of the worst teams in the NBA. They have brought on players like Brian Scalabrine.
They are the worst team in the NBA.
Michael Olowokandi.
They have the losing percentage victory over Memphis right now, with Memphis' win last night. So
they're trying to build this young team. They're picking people. Sebastian Telfair, Gerald Green, Al Jefferson, and Kendrick Perkins did not play a single college game. Is that really the kind of team you want to build around? I mean,
well, you know, apparently not.
Sebastian, those four could still be in college right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you're hearing how good Gerald Green could be. You're getting compared to guys like Kobe Bryant. I really don't think they've been letting him step up enough. Like, even with Pierce out, this really is chance, and they've still been...
He's in the dunk contest, isn't he?
Yeah, but, I mean, they've still been looking to work the offense around Jefferson.
Well, yeah, actually, that's... I think Jefferson's actually a bright spot, too, because...
He's the only bright spot.
Right, he was supposed to be... You know, a great player. It's been, what, 3 years? He's been in the league 3 years? He had, you know, a good rookie season, and he really hasn't shown improvement until this year. And yeah, that might be because he's just getting more reps because Pierce is out. But I think, you know, that's definitely something good to look for in the future.
But, I mean, their roster, especially without Paul Pierce, even with Paul Pierce, is just horrible.
Yeah, and he's still not healthy. He played last night. He had 9 points on, like, 4-for-16 shooting.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't blame him on that. I mean, he rushed back from an injury.
Exactly. He had, like, an infected shoulder.
They need something
and, like,
to stop the bleeding. I mean, Rick Oden's probably going to be it. Yeah, Kevin Durant, like, I mean, they're going for lottery picks now. But another thing is, like, they've just... They want to build around Pierce. They just bring in horrible players. Sebastian Telfair was a horrible, horrible decision. Not going to college. Kendrick Perkins.
Has he even, like, played? Does he play anymore? He's off the bench
now. They always seem to give up talented players like Marcus Banks. Mm-hmm. Mark Blount from Michael Olowokandi.
Yeah.
Blount's been having some double-doubles, really. And they also got rid of Joe Johnson.
Yep. First-round draft pick going out to Denver for Rajon Rondo, eventually.
Yeah, I mean, just horrible decisions.
I think that goes back to Danny Ainge, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it's... If you don't blame Doc Rivers, then, I mean, Doc may not be the best coach, but he's a solid coach.
And Doc has had success. I mean, went into Orlando, brought them above 500 with four undrafted starters, I believe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can't put too much, you know, blame on the front office of them because they've, you know, we've had some big injuries. We were just talking about Pierce, but still.
And the Ricky Davis for Wally Zerbiak trade was a horrible trade.
Ricky Davis was, you know, an exciting player, a fan favorite too. He was good.
Yeah, and Zerbiak is a pure shooter. He's a good player. He's a good, like, role player to have. He's a solid player, but he gets hurt too much.
It's true, yeah, he's been injured twice for, like, a majority of the season the last 2 years.
Yeah, he had to leave the last season.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing is, when Pierce went out, the Celtics were still in the playoff hunt, and what they should have done is
Two games out of first place?
Yeah.
Now they lost 17 in a row.
They should have known that Pierce will be out for a while, and they should have changed the offense around. But what they really did is kept the same offense and count on Al Jefferson or guys like that to make plays, and... You know, Jefferson's a great ball player, but he's not the playmaker that Pierce is.
And he might be in the future. He's definitely not right now, that's right.
Well, I don't know, but, like, I thought as soon as they didn't get Allen Iverson, or as soon as they didn't get Kevin Garnett or Stoudemire, who, those were the three big trade talks they were talking about.
Mm-hmm. Never since
they
happened for the
didn't
Celtics.
Get those,
mm-hmm.
then they weren't going to make the playoffs, because they're just not that good. Pierce can't carry a team with Wally Zerbiak and Delonte West and Al Jefferson and who's your center? Kendrick Perkins?
I guess.
That's another thing. They really don't have that much height to match up against the premier big guys.
You know, they've never really had a center.
Not for a really long time. Not since Walton and...
McHale.
McHale and Parrish, really. But, I mean, you could trace their misfortune all the way back. They've had a mixture of bad luck and bad decisions.
I think Rick Pitino, really.
Len Bias dying, I mean...
Yeah.
If Len Bias didn't die...
Reggie Lewis
didn't die, those would have been two superstars. Mm-hmm. Bird, McHale, and Parrish.
Yeah, it's a waste of first-round draft pick, too.
Look
at it.
Bird, Parrish, and McHale's career, Celtics would have been much longer. They also had an opportunity, I think, to trade McHale and Parrish and a draft pick that would have gotten them Clyde Drexler. Which is, he's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've just made horrible personnel decisions, like you said, Rick Pitino.
Yeah, and, you know, ever since Danny Ainge's first big trade, Antoine Walker for Rafe LaFrance. They
assumed they were going to get Tim Duncan in the draft.
Yeah.
They drafted, when they didn't get him, they drafted Chauncey Billups, and they drafted a guy named Ron Mercer instead of Tracy McGrady.
Great guy.
Out of the NBA in a year. They got rid of such players as Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace, who are both leaders of their respective teams. That's me.
And I think, back to what you said, Aiden, about... the Walker for the Friends trade. The last time the Celtics had even a decent team was when they got Antoine Walker back, and he was happy, like, and they had that, huge comeback in the playoffs.
Yeah, against the Pacers.
Yeah, actually...
What? The Nets.
Did they lose to the Pacers?
No, they lost to the Pacers like 2 years ago, last time they were in the playoffs. But they, when they actually win,
the huge comeback.
Yeah, like 2002, 2003, I think the season was.
And the thing is, they got Walker back, they made the playoffs, Walker seemed happy here, and they didn't keep him. They lost in Miami, so.
And they lost Gary Payton in Miami.
Yeah, and who, you know, Danny Ainge wants to, or has been trying to tear down the team and rebuild it back up, but... You know, Antoine Walker isn't that old. He could definitely fit into that game plan of, you know, like, young players. And Rafe LaFrance, you know, he was a great Great player.
Great fourth option.
Great fourth option. I think. And what about Big Vin Baker?
Dan Dickow.
Big Vin Baker? No one?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
The alcoholic?
Yeah.
The thing is, though, like, if he wants to totally tear down the Celtics, I mean, obviously Pierce is the franchise guy right now, but mm-hmm. the Celtics, as long as they have Paul Pierce, are still probably going to be the same Celtics. Like, if he had made a trade for, like, Kevin Garnett or something, then the Celtics are centering around a big guy. They could change the team around there.
See, what I think is, I think Jefferson is a lot more hyped up than what he's going to be.
Really?
Like, I think he's reached his pretty much max. I mean, yeah. We're looking at, like, a 13-point, 10-board guy
mm-hmm.
who occasionally pulls off, like, 20 boards. But I think they should trade him. And I think that the only way that...
It's not a bad idea, because he is overhyped.
If they want to win, then I think they should trade him and, like, Zerviak or someone when he gets healthy, a package veteran with a rookie,
mm-hmm.
for an impact player like Iverson, who they probably won't be able to get now because he's on Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Or KG, which would be a good trade. But right now I think they're hoping for Durant or Oden.
Oh, yeah, you've got to, you know, blow the season. What I'm worried about is if Pierce gets healthy, we're going to end up having, like, the second or third worst team, which really drastically decreases your chances of getting the first or second.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
First, second overall.
What are they supposed to do? Just not, like,
no, they
play
don't.
Pierce?
Tell Pierce to make sure he's healthy, I guess. Take as long off
as he
needs to.
If they keep playing him like last night, then they're not going to win.
Because, no, this is... Actually, I think this is the best-case scenario, is that during the 17-game losing streak, the team has been playing hard, you know, and we're still losing. So it's not like nobody can say we're tanking it.
I don't know. Did you see Ryan Gomes last night?
No, I didn't see the game.
It was a backcourt ball, so if he grabbed the ball, it would have been a backcourt.
Mm-hmm.
He just lets it bounce. The guy on the Nets goes back, picks it up, gets a fast break layup. Nobody's there. Gomes doesn't move for the ball. I mean, can you say that's playing hard?
No.
Well,
no, but if you've looked at it, though, they're not trying to tank the game.
Delonte, Jefferson, and Gerald Green are the ones who've been playing hard.
Delonte West has been playing hard, yeah.
Right,
but yeah.
Right now, they're just getting sick of losing. I mean, like, if you play that bad, your team's... I mean, they can still be playing hard, but their spirit's definitely going to be broken. Like, you can't lose that many games and still stay positive.
Yeah, but it'll make these young guys hungry for a championship soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they'd be hungry just for a win.
That's good, yeah.
I think the thing, though, if they're going to go out and make a trade...
Sebastian Telfer.
Yeah, they can't... Well, they can't make, like, another Ricky Davis and whoever.
Marcus Banks.
Yeah, like, those guys were, like, Wally Zerbiak and Olajuwon Kennedy. Because the thing is, like, I mean, Zerbiak's a good player, but he's not like, going to make any big difference over what Ricky Davis could do.
Really?
No.
Davis has much more assists. He might score maybe, like, 4 less points maybe a night, but he has a lot more assists. He can cut to the basket and he can shoot. I mean...
Yeah,
he's an overall better player.
They can't do something like go out and trade their young talent for someone like a Kyle Korver because he's been shooting the ball well this season.
Yeah, they need to get, like, proven players, like get overhyped rookies, which I think Al Jefferson is, and trade them for proven players. I mean, Danny Ainge has got some good talent out of, like, late rounds of the draft,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't matter if you blow the big picks.
No.
And trading an 8th overall pick for a pick that could have gotten you Brandon Roy, Rudy Gay, J.J. Redick, even though he has been hurt, for Sebastian Telfair and Theo Ratliff, who Theo Ratliff
hasn't even played this
played
year,
one game, been yep. injured the rest of the season, is probably out for the rest of the season. Sebastian Telfair, where is he gone? Like,
he's on the bench. He's playing backup
play.
To Delonte West.
They had Delonte West. They didn't need Rajon Rondo.
And
might as well play Dickow.
Telfair was a good high school player, but, like, he's what?
That's another
five,
thing, all the high school players.
Telfair is what, like 5'10"? He's not, like, his game in high school was just to drive by people. Right now in the NBA, so if he's inside and someone just gets a hand up, it's not going to happen.
No. That's the difference. So,
shots in anchor.
Can he even get rim?
Probably not.
So what is the NBA record for losing streak? Is it 24?
23. 24 would break it.
24 would break it.
And it's a shame because it's such a great franchise.
Right, there was this thing I was watching SportsCenter, and they showed the longest losing streaks for the teams you know, they have the most championships. The Yankees had like 13 games, and the the Celtics, you know, now are at 17. And it was the who's the NHL, Montreal, the Canadiens, who have like a 12-game losing streak. So you know, we're way over those. Well, and basketball is way different than baseball in that you only play, you know, half the amount of games.
It's really hard to compete in basketball.
Yeah.
And the Celtics aren't making it any easier on themselves. And there's the Red Sox. Sort of a bright spot, I guess.
Yeah, let's get into the Red Sox here. So, you know, when we last came to the Sox cast, we were talking about...
It was like a couple weeks before they signed Julio Lugo.
And like Dice K, too. They just had made that purchase of, you know, the negotiating rights for Dice K, and they ended up signing him. And right now, he's going to be the third starter behind Schilling and Beckett. And then, so...
Projected,
yeah. Papelbon has moved to the fourth starter spot, and now there's the question of who's going to close.
Oh, I think Papelbon should.
I think Papelbon should be, because right now we have a legitimate six-man rotation. Put Lester and Wakefield, yeah, in front of him.
Which will be good for Matsuzaka, because he's used to pitching in a six-man rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps ease him into the baseball for the possible retirement of Wakefield and or Schilling.
Mm-hmm.
Schilling says he wants to play another year, even though before he said he wants to retire.
And Wakefield says he'll do whatever the Red Sox want, pretty much, when he signed that...
Because he's a knucklehead.
No, he signed a contract. It was really weird. Like, from now, all team options until 2010, for like 1 year team options, with like, for $5 million a year or something
and
like that.
And as long as they can keep pitching, they're just going to keep picking up that.
Yeah, and we, you know, you got to love Wakefield. He'll do whatever the Red Sox want. He was the guy who ate... all those Yankees runs in the third game of the of the AL Championship Series in 04 when the Yankees scored like 20 runs.
Yeah.
See, I don't like the six-man rotation. I think you go with the five-man like every other, like majority of other teams are going to use. You start Papelbon out as the closer.
That's what I think.
That's what's worked.
The only thing there is that Lester needs to prove.
Well, the thing is, if any starter is struggling, you make them the closer, and you can put Papelbon into the rotation.
As long as Wakefield isn't the closer. Because I don't want to knuckleball.
Wakefield's not lights out.
No.
Not at all.
All right, so pitchers and catchers report in about 2 weeks now, so that's something to get excited for. And, I guess let's do a comparison between starters of the Red Sox and Yankees, since that's always, like, a big hot topic here.
All right, well,
let's start at pitching. Red Sox, let's see, the number one starter, Schilling or Wang?
Schilling, because he'll win the big game for you. But mm-hmm. Wang is way underrated.
In the future, Wang's going to be good.
Wang is very good. Underrated. I mean, he's Chinese, right? Or is he from Japan? He's from Japan.
I don't know.
He's from Asia. They're probably paying him less than we're paying Matsuzaka.
Oh, a lot, I think.
Yeah.
So he's already proved he can pitch.
All right.
The thing is,
18 wins last year.
Schilling's, 19 even. He was 19-6.
Really?
Yeah.
Schilling's really the proven guy here. Like, if you're gonna build a team, you build around Schilling. But that's not to say that Wang can't have a few more seasons like he's had, and then he'll look like a really dominant
player. How young is he? Is he 28? He's pretty young.
He's pretty young, yeah.
So, yeah, he's going to be good in the future.
They lose Lytle. They have Mussina.
Mussina and Beckett.
I pick Beckett because...
Beckett had such a bad year last year, though.
Yeah, I know. And Mussina is always solid. Things, but, yeah, Beckett had a three-run gem against the Yankees.
That's true.
And Mussina's just getting old. He had a 10-run explosion against them, too.
Mussina's getting old, too.
Mussina's getting old, and I think it's going to be the Pedro Martinez-like here, where Beckett will come over to the AL, have a shaky, rusty first year,
mm-hmm.
and then he'll settle in.
No sophomore slump.
He already had a freshman fail.
I mean Beckett's definitely had success against the Yankees before, back in the 03 World Series.
Yep.
He's proved he can pitch on that stage.
I mean... Well, he started two games. I mean, that game six was an absolute gem out of Beckett.
Oh, yeah, and he made that final tag out so good.
Posada.
So good. All right, Pettit and Dice K.
Pettit.
Pettit? Just that's another situation where, you know, it could all come finally crashing down for Pettit. He's like 40-something.
You go with the proven guy.
Right.
Wait to see if Daisuke can prove himself over here.
Mm-hmm. Although I think Matsuzaka can be a... He'll be an ace by the time Schilling retires.
Yeah, we're... You know,
it was a good pickup. If we're only going to pay him, what, $6 million a year?
Something like that. It might
money's
be a little
not even really an issue with the Red Sox, so...
No, we... Yankees have, you know, another payroll over 200 million, and the Red Sox are up there at, like, 180, I want to say? I don't know.
Yeah, money's not an issue for these two teams.
I think the thing about Matsuzaka, people are really looking at how well he did in the World Baseball Classic, and saying that's why they think he'll be good over here. I don't think they should base it on the World Baseball Classic, because, I mean, the U.S. team wasn't getting hits off of middle relievers who were starting for Mexico or something. I mean, their offense just wasn't like you'd expect it to be.
Yeah.
That's a good point. All right, so the Red Sox then have Papelbon projected number 4. That's disputable against Pavano, which is...
Papelbon.
Yeah, all the way. Well, and then Wakefield or Lester, or a combination of the two against, what's the guy? Egawa, what's his first name?
Kai.
Kai Egawa. And, you know, we're gonna give that one to Wakefield and Lester. So, catching Veritek and Posada, that's always been...
Disputable,
pretty even. That might be a wash. Veritek had a terrible year last year, so...
Well, he was hurt, and...
It was a disappointing year.
His heart must have been hurt when we replaced him with Yavi Lopez.
Yep. His heart.
They're both similar guys. I mean, switch hitters. They both put up very good numbers.
Posada's always had better power numbers,
both,
though.
They're both team leaders. They both work well with the staffs.
Dirt dogs.
Indeed.
Open.
All right, so Euclid has been moved over to first base against Andy Phillips.
I don't know.
Oh, and look at this. Yankees backup first baseman is Doug Minkiewicz.
Now we will never get the ball back.
Nope. Never going to get that ball back. So what do you think about that?
I think that's a dead... Well, I'm not sure.
Oh, we also have Eric Hinsky backing up.
Okay. I'd say a dead tie, I guess.
Really?
Well, Andy Phillips was pretty good last year, especially against the Red Sox. He had like 3 home runs against the Red Sox.
I don't know. I really like Euclid.
Euclid is a solid player,
mm-hmm.
and he is the kind of player that can win, but Andy Phillips can... I think Andy Phillips is pretty good.
I think you got to look... I know Jason Giambi, you're not expecting him to do very good, but you look at Frank Thomas last season, everyone thought he was too old. And he's a similar player to Giambi, and he really picked it up. So
he deserved the MVP.
Yeah, Giambi right now is playing third string.
Not ruling out
first string.
Not ruling out that Giambi can do okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Giambi's going to play DH again this year.
Cano versus Pedroia.
Cano all the Jackie Robinson Cano all the way. I think I heard Jim Rome say that. Yeah. Ryan Kell's favorite.
Jim Rome,
the guy. All right, shortstop, another win for the Yankees with Jeter over Julio.
Although
Lugo has put up good numbers.
Yeah, Jeter is overrated. That is a fact.
You still got to give it to Jeter. I mean,
Jeter is overrated.
Mr. November,
but
Derek Jeter.
He's better than Lugo, who is just kind of like just plays baseball with much energy as possible, and no rhyme or reason, really. Just steal bases, make the throw, makes a lot of errors.
He's definitely going to have more RBIs, not playing for the Diamondbacks now, too.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Looks like the Yankees are going to win the whole infield.
Maybe. They might, yeah. All right, but let's see. Third base, Mike Lowell, one of the only bright spots last year. He had a surprisingly good year,
although he died at the end.
He died, yeah. Well, sort of the whole team.
Yeah, but, like, he was one of the few people who was healthy. And
yeah, Manny took less 2 months off, and Ortiz still hit, what, 52, 53 home
52
runs?
52.
All right, outfield. This is...
But... I think that the Red Sox infield is closer to the Yankees than the Yankees rotation is to the Red Sox.
Yeah, that's probably
skill wise.
Yeah.
Back to third base though. A-Rod had some awful moments last season.
Yeah, he had some great strikeout numbers.
Yeah.
He was really good at striking
and
out.
And the Yankees choked against Detroit. I mean, they're talking about the next Murderer's Row.
Mm-hmm.
After like 2 games against Detroit in the playoffs, and then Detroit took over. Leland's magic.
Leland's magic.
Taking it over, taking
control. I can't believe they didn't win, though.
Yeah, that was...
They should have won that World Series.
Yeah, well, they got slaughtered in, like, what, 5 games?
Yeah.
All right, so left field. We'll start with Manny Ramirez and Matsui.
You have to go with Manny.
All the way. And then, let's see. That's...
Although Matsui's
I like Matsui, too.
Incredibly solid. 30 home runs, 100 RBI guy.
But, you know, Manny will easily put up 40 home runs and 130 RBIs.
And his defense is underrated.
He's a good defender, especially in Fenway Park. He plays that wall like a machine.
He's got a rocket, like a not machine. A rocket arm, but a strong arm, an above average arm. He's got an above average glove.
He's really not that. He's
underrated completely.
He's looked at as a bad defensive player because he makes
mental mistakes
and, you know, sometimes bad errors, but, you know.
It's effort, too.
I have a good example. Do you remember in, what was it? I think the first game of the World Series?
Yeah.
Yeah, where he made those
back-to-back errors.
Back-to-back errors. That's maybe, you know, poured gasoline on the fire of him being a bad outfielder. But, you know, he's really not that bad.
And that's where people watch it. They watch the World Series and say, oh, he made an error.
Right. Two straight where he, like, slid and his shoe got caught in the grass and he, like, toppled over and, like, did some somersaults.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's consistently... Within the top 5 in assists.
Yeah. He had, you know, he'll get you almost 20, too. He'll get you, like, 15, at least.
Yeah.
All right, center field, Damon Crisp. No question, Damon.
No doubt.
After Crisp had, you know, a disappointing year. We've been saying that a lot, disappointing years for Red Sox players.
Celtics.
Lepke. And the new Red Sox acquisition, J.D. Drew, will be starting in right field against Bobby Abreu, which J.D. Drew could have the edge on, but Bobby Abreu had a pretty good year for the Yankees last year.
I'm picking Bobby because he's not as injured as much.
Right. J.D. Drew is like never played a full season
in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew needs to prove it, although I think he's going to be a great fit behind
him. Yeah, we're looking for the next Edgar Renteria.
Where was Drew before he was in Los Angeles?
He went to the Braves for a year. He was with the Cardinals as an underachiever.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So Drew
then he went to the Braves and had a career year for 1 year.
He really hasn't played in the AL yet, so that's going to be different for him.
And let's see, Willie Mopane is backing up every outfield position, which I'm not sure I'd like him in center field. That could be big old Willie Mopane. What?
They're going to trade him now.
He played there a little last year.
Yeah, actually, he played there when Chris was hurt. He wasn't that bad.
He was more comfortable
in center than he was in right. If I recall. Yeah.
It was an adventure when a ball was hit to him.
If I recall. All right, DH, no question.
Let's see, Jason Giambi, you know, great steroidal guy. But then, you know, David Ortiz all the way. So, counting them up.
Wait, we forgot about bullpen.
Ooh! Ryan, why don't you discuss that while I count these up?
I think the Yankees definitely have the edge, as Greg Engelhardt will tell you. First of all, the Yankees have a closer. Although, I'd like to point out the fact... Scott Brockton? All right, I'd like to point out the fact that
Rivero.
The 2003 Red Sox had no closer and made it to the ALCS Game 7, even though they blew it in the later innings.
That was a winnable game.
Yeah, that wasn't the bullpen's fault. And actually, they had a dominating bullpen. It was a closer by committee. The 2003 Marlins didn't have a closer till like midway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
The 2005 White Sox, World Series champions, didn't have a... Well, Dustin Hermanson was their closer. We'll just leave it at that.
This year's Tigers didn't have a
And
closer.
Then the Tigers had, like, who? Like, Todd Jones?
Todd Jones
and
did bad in
the St. Louis...
Joel Zoom Zoom Zamaya, but...
Zamaya.
It's really a setup, man, not a closer.
The Cardinals used, like, a 24-year-old rookie, and he got, like, 2 saves in the World Series, and they won the World Series, so...
Yeah, so
you don't need, like, a dominant
closer. Proving
that
bullpen isn't that big of a factor.
And we have Craig Hansen and...
We've got some young guys that are going to blossom, hopefully, as it goes on. But so overall, the Red Sox...
If worst comes to worst, then they trade William Opeña for a starter, or Lester's all right, and then Papelbon pitches.
Yeah, I'm going to throw up this please, though.
All right. Sorry about the ringing of the tone. William Opeña we could trade, but, you know, What a good surprise Bronson Arroyo was last year. What a great trade we made. William Opeña for Bronson Arroyo.
He's an overall great guy.
And you know,
Slugger William Opeña was traded for Slugger Bronson Arroyo.
Arroyo was talking about coming back to the Red Sox and re-signing with him. He signed an extension through 2010.
Great liar. Great guy. What, did he have like as many
home
runs?
Can you blame him?
No.
Can you blame him? I mean, he was one of the...
He was a marginal starter in... Well...
He was good. He was
above average. But, I mean...
Fan favorite, can pitch from the bullpen, a solid 5 starter, which is what he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Well, in this rodeo, he would have been 4 if, you know, we have Papelbon in the bullpen. He would be ahead of Lester. But he had, what, like 3 home runs last year? William Opeña? No. Bronson. William Opeña William Opeña had less than 10.
Yeah, well, William Opeña didn't play that much.
Well, William Opeña is just that kind of guy.
What a guy.
Guy.
William Opeña.
Alright, so, has Clemens made up his mind yet?
Clemens will just hold out to get as much money as he wants, and he'll go to Houston.
Ooh.
Is that your prediction?
Well, there's no reason, unless the Red Sox, like,
he's
offer
not
him
going
ownership.
To the Red Sox. He's not going
to there's no reason he would go to the Red Sox or the Yankees. Unless he was really a jerk and went to the Yankees just to grind our gears.
Gotta grind those gears.
Like... His son is playing in the Houston Astros organization. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to go on road games.
And doesn't he, like...
He's going to pitch. He can just sit around at home and doesn't have to go to the ballpark. He doesn't want him.
I think if he was going to play for Houston, though, I think he might have signed by now or something. I mean, he's been going to New York a lot. He's been talking with them. I definitely think that we could see him in New York next year.
That could be an act, like Ryan said.
Just like... He did that last year, too. Like, Boston was interested, and they made a video, like, thing, production for him to come to...
Yeah. Boston. The best city.
The best city for baseball. It's just... I think it's an act, and he's just holding out for more money.
Yeah, that's viable, you know. Whatever. He's definitely not coming to Boston, though.
How good is he gonna be, though?
I mean, he's getting old. He said he hasn't been feeling great when he's been throwing batting practice this season.
Yeah, but a bad team like Houston is still going to want him to try and improve, because it would be an improvement.
Yeah, whatever happened to Houston, too.
I don't know. Made the World Series. It's the kind of World Series thing that the St. Louis Cardinals were able to overcome and win the World Series 2 years later, but they were swept just completely house clean with them by the White Sox. Wasn't even close.
White Sox!
And, yeah. I mean, didn't even come back.
I think age has been a problem in Houston. I mean, they had the Killer Bees.
Bagwell.
They're all getting old.
Bagwell, who... Do you think Bagwell's going to make the Hall of Fame?
He should.
You got to look at that guy and say, steroids.
If Jim Rice should make the Hall of Fame...
Of course. Well, yeah.
Then Jeff Bagwell should.
The Hall of Fame is, like...
Jim Rice had 10 really good years, and then, like, you know... He dominated for 10 years, and if you look at Hall of Fame, it's more about constant production for 20, but Jim Rice really just was lights out from, like, 75 through, like, 85.
Yeah, but you look at his career numbers, it was, like, 380 home runs, maybe, I mean.
With the guys in the steroid generation coming into the Hall of Fame, well, being able to be inducted now.
Yeah, Gwynn and Ripken made in this year, right? Did anybody else?
Yeah, but they weren't home run hitters, though.
Right.
That's really going to change... The way that...
Yeah, I'm saying, because Maguire came up. All right,
put it this way. If Bagwell and Maguire don't make the Hall of Fame, neither should Jason Giambi.
Oh, neither should Giambi make in the Hall of Fame.
He's very well going to hit at least 450 home runs. Gary Sheffield should not make the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was using that cream. The cream of wheat.
That guy's lying. Remember when he, like, said that?
There can be speculation about so many players, though.
They did the 2000... Remember they went back to the 2003, like, urine test or something?
Mm-hmm.
And were able to see if who did it? Giambi? What's his face? Sheffield?
Palmeiro
was on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sosa.
Eventually.
Who just, like, you know, fell off the table with his production numbers for the Orioles.
I think Ortiz could be on steroids. I mean,
he's
always been big, but, I mean, think about it. He was a scrub for the Twins.
Oh, he was not a scrub. He was a 17 home run a year kind of guy.
22 home runs was his most before.
Yeah.
He comes in 2003 with limited playing time and blasts 31 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden he's hitting 52. I mean, that's kind of suspicious.
He's also coming into his prime.
You hate to say it as a Red Sox fan, but it's always a possibility.
I think the thing is, though, I think there's just so many more people in the MLB who are on it than people ever really think about.
I'm just saying, it would be hard now having a test at the beginning of the year and, like, three random tests, because that's what it is now, any time during the season, to be on steroids now.
I mean, but you look at it, like,
Giambi's
Gary Matthews Jr., was it? Like, got caught using steroids? Was it him?
I don't know. I always thought he was, like, a skinny guy.
I think it was...
Maybe it was Roberts or something?
Oh, yeah, what's his face? Brian Roberts. That's right.
Brian Roberts got caught using steroids. I mean, like, he wasn't a big power hitter. He wasn't a great player. I mean, you just got to think nowadays, I mean, what are these guys who are insanely huge and hitting so many home runs? Like, is that natural?
Well, I mean, you look at Jason Giambi. He was huge, completely jacked, lots of muscle.
Lots of pig-like face features.
Gets
lots of greasy hair.
Gets sick. Has the tumor.
And the intestinal parasite
comes back. He's lost like 60 pounds of muscle. He's like skinny as a stick. And then somehow he wins a comeback player of the award. Somehow he can just bomb home runs. I mean,
he's just not good.
That is just so suspicious, though. He loses all that muscle mass and then he just gains it back. There's no way he could have done that in a year. It couldn't happen.
I've increased, like, my maximum bench by, like, 5 pounds in a year.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're not as talented as Jason Giambi is, but we're not
I mean, you look at, like, the weight that these guys are putting on in the offseason of muscle. Yeah. It's just ridiculous.
Also, still, that's, like, I just yelled pretty loud. That's, like, at least four straight months, if you give a month on either end to, like, rest up, of... You know, just working out. If you're a good, responsible player, that's all you're going to do in the off season. So, there's definitely a lot of suspicion. I also just think it's hard right now for anybody to say that anybody's constantly on steroids as of right now with the new testing policies and stuff.
Yeah, but some of the evidence.
Thing about the Hall of Fame, though, like if one of them gets in, like Bonds gets in, gets the record, gets in the Hall of Fame,
you need to,
and you know he's on steroids, then like. Floodgates are going
to
open.
Right, you
more
need
and
to
more
get them
people
in.
Are going
to
start getting in.
Yeah.
Once Bonds gets in, McGuire will.
It is a shame that Barry Bonds is going to break Henry Aaron's home run record.
I hope he gets hurt badly.
Like, it is a shame because Henry Aaron was, like, such pure talent. You look at him, he's skinny.
Look at him, played 22 years, like, averaged, like, 38 home runs for all of the 22 years.
Just, like, a solid player, came out, hit, like, 40 home runs a year, around that, 35. He was skinny, had quick wrists, he was a good hitter.
And Bonds admitted to taking steroids. It's not like we're just guessing here.
Right.
I mean, he said he took them accidentally, which I highly doubt.
He was like, oh, what's this? Better eat it.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at him, his days in Pittsburgh, he was a 30 home run guy.
He's still going to make the Hall of Fame.
Very skinny.
No, I think he should get into the Hall of Fame because he was still going to have at least 450, maybe 500 without the steroids.
Yeah, but he cheated.
Isn't he
knowingly cheated.
At least a 500 guy steals in home runs.
He would have been. Well, no, he is.
He is.
Yeah,
he would have
like,
been both of them.
All his steals came back in
Pittsburgh. Yeah, a lot earlier, yeah.
Like, he does...
Says Greg, the Pittsburgh Pirates fan.
No, but he's completely right, because...
I know.
He would hit, like, 30 home runs, and he would see, like, 50 or 60 bases.
Right, I'm saying he would have been a Hall of Famer without it, but that's a good point that, because he cheated, should he not be now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be in.
Well, I think the thing, like, then you gotta look at other stuff. Like, if they let him in, I mean... I think Pete Rose should already be in, but if you're going to let guys in who are using steroids...
That, no, that's a really good point, because that is cheating, and Pete Rose didn't even cheat.
No. He bet for his own team, which should be fine.
And
if you don't bet against your team, you're not going to... It's not going to affect your play.
Right.
And if you're going to do the thing where, what he could have done, then you have to go back to Shoeless Joe Jackson, who probably could have had 3,000 hits in his career, and therefore would deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. So, if Bonds goes in, then Greg's completely right. Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose should definitely be in the Hall.
Imagine if El Guapo was using steroids.
I don't know, I think he's just using burgers.
He's injecting them into his burgers. So, anything else? Any other topics?
Well, I guess a few other things. The Bruins, with star hockey player Joe Thornton. Oh, wait!
Wait, they traded Joe Thornton, right?
That was like a year and a half ago. Oh my god.
Oh, the best player in the NHL. Traded.
He's just that good.
Zdeen Chara has been a bust.
Isn't he the captain? Isn't he
Yep. Good? And no, he's doing good. He's doing okay, I guess, but they're paying him like a bust. And they always seem for every game they win, they lose two.
Ah, they had a two-game winning streak this week.
Whoa. No way.
They only lost to the Hurricanes.
That's more than the Celtics could say.
That's true. Celtics would be lucky to have a one-game winning streak.
And Trent Nixon, which the Cleveland Indians. So
you know I liked him.
Good job, Trot. I hope you have a good year, but I hope you don't beat him.
He's on the Indians, don't worry.
He'll be applauded. Very much.
He is the dirt dog. He is the dirt
definition
dog.
Of dirt dog. Mm-hmm. And anything else, really?
Tangle, anything?
Ryan
Scalabrini. Just want to wish the New England Revs a good season.
Yep. Just gotta. They've made the championship like three times, haven't they? Yeah, but they've lost a few times.
Damn,
went to one. They lost.
Alright, and keep smiling, Peyton. Go do some ads. Don't work in the offseason. Just keep laughing. Laugh it up. We still got three. You only got one. You suck. We're 100 times better than you. The Colts are horrible. I hate you. Your head is huge. You look weird. Your brother is better than you. I just hate you.
The high school brother.
The high school brother is better than you. Archie's better than you. Peyton is a horrible name. Tom Brady's better than you. Asante Samuel
lives in Chicago.
The real Peyton Manning lives in Chicago. Asante Samuel is going to have 3 picks against you next year. I hate you.
All right, guys. They're not saying boo. They're saying move.